Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 48 degrees in overcast mist and rain this morning. It's Friday, June 8th, 2012. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. A Sitka fisherman is facing charges of reckless endangerment after running his boat aground in Sitka's Eastern Channel Wednesday evening. 52-year-old William A. Walder was arrested by Sitka police officers after refusing to comply with rescue personnel to leave his troller Yankee as the boat listed on the rocks near Error Island. He was also charged with boating under the influence. Walder also apparently failed to radio the Coast Guard. A female passenger aboard the Yankee notified a friend via text message that the boat was in trouble. The friend called Coast Guard District Command in Juneau, who were mistakenly informed that the distressed vessel was near A&B Harbor in Sitka's Inner Channel. Harbor personnel and Sitka Search and Rescue Captain Don Cluding went to A&B to look for the Yankee, but found nothing.
It was at that point that we realized that we had an actual search and rescue mission.
Cluding says it took a while to narrow down the Yankee's location. In cell phone conversations with the female passenger, she described a sailboat passing by and a house on an island, fairly common circumstances in the Sound. In the end, Cluding says rescuers relied on technology.
You know, her cell phone was starting to die. She had one bar left, she reported on her phone, on the battery life. And so she, per Coast Guard Sector Juneau's recommendations, called 911, and we used the E911 system to determine her GPS coordinates. And once we had those coordinates, we were able to plot those. And yeah, she was on the east side of Error Island, which is right out here in Eastern Channel.
The aptly named island is about a 10-minute boat ride from the harbor in calm conditions. Cluding and a SAR team, including a state trooper, responded in his own skiff. Harbor personnel took their boat. Cluding says the Yankee's situation was precarious.
Arriving on scene, what we saw was an interesting situation. We had a vessel that was hard aground about midship and bow down, stern up, and the stern was significantly, you know, out of the water, and you know, we were concerned about the stability of the vessel and any weight shifting on the vessel. It was certainly in jeopardy of rolling to the port side. Certainly a situation where their life safety was at risk, and so, you know, they certainly needed to be rescued from the vessel.
Search and rescue took the female on board, but according to police dispatch reports, Walder refused to comply. Once the woman was safely delivered to town, Cluding and the trooper, accompanied by two Sitka police officers, returned to the Yankee, where Walder was arrested. Details of his arraignment were unavailable by deadline for this story. Cluding says Search and Rescue's maritime role has increased over the past 2.5 decades. Almost exactly a month ago, Cluding responded to the troller Igloo, which had run aground on rocks off the end of Sitka's runway. Cluding says SAR trains for its maritime role, and just as the Coast Guard supports his team on land, he's happy to help the Coast Guard on the water when he can.
You know, a case like last night, it's a quick boat run for us to get on scene and, you know, be able to stabilize the situation and assist the Coast Guard. And so it's a win-win situation.
A Coast Guard Marine Safety officer inspected the scene Wednesday evening. The wooden hull appeared mostly undamaged. The Yankee was expected to be refloated on the next tide. You can see photos of the Yankee aground at our website, kcaw.org. When Governor Sean Parnell spoke to the Sitka Chamber of Commerce on Wednesday, he tread lightly on the subject of oil. During the legislative session, Parnell favored giving tax incentives to oil companies in order to encourage more in-state production. That put him at odds with many in the Senate, including Sitka Republican Bert Stedman. In an interview with KCAW, Parnell spent a little more time on the subject of oil policy than he did before the chamber crowd. He says the state has to do something about declining production.
We're at 585,000 barrels a day, and that's declining at a rate of 6 to 9% a year. That's a problem for Alaska when 95% of our state revenues comes from oil. It's also a problem when we're no longer at $115, $120 a barrel, but we're at $100 a barrel of oil. So we've got not only declining production, but declining price. That means less state revenue. That means less services. It means less money available for hydro projects, for education, for public safety. And so my job really is to promote and grow economic opportunity in this state. And the only way I know, one way I know how to do that with the oil industry is to work to increase production. Let's not fight over whether we're going to turn out the lights at 100,000 barrels a day or 300,000 barrels a day. Let's figure out how to grow it to 1 million barrels a day. So that's the underpinning of oil tax policy, is growing economic pie for Alaskans.
A lot of people pointed out that the oil companies make record profits, and I know you get the question a lot, but how do you square that, giving incentives to oil companies at the same time while they're making record profits?
Well, let me put it this way. I like Alaska businesses making profits because that means you're going to hire more people and there's more money in our economy. The question isn't how much profit do they make. The question is, where do they spend those profits? If they're making profit in Alaska and spending it in North Dakota and Texas, I don't like that. I want to find a way to bring those profits back here. I'm not trying to make them less profitable. I'm trying to make them spend their profits here in Alaska and grow Alaska's economy.
So taking a look at the conversation that happened this year.
Let me tell you what's really dangerous about that discussion.
Yeah.
Let me take it the next step.
Sure.
Because, you know, everybody is righteous about hating an oil company. But we actually have a senator who thinks – not Sitka senator. I don't want to – because he and I work together really well. But we actually have a senator out there who thinks that, you know, 20% profit – that's kind of where government should regulate things. Well, in other words, government should not allow any company to make more than 20%. Well, does that mean that your local office supply store can't make more than 20% on its pencils? Does that mean a movie theater can't make more than 20% on its popcorn? Does that mean a fisherman cannot make more than 20%? I mean, really? Do we really want to say that? And if we say it about one company, what's to stop government from saying that about every company?
You were the Chamber of Commerce speaker today on the Wednesday that we're recording this. A week ago, it was Senator Stedman, and at the end of his speech, somebody asked him, how are you going to fix Sitka's roads? And he said, many things that he said, but among them was, next week when the governor's here, somebody should take him for a ride out our highways and see what he thinks. Did you go for that ride?
I have not gone for that ride, but I certainly have been warned about the washboards, and Senator Stedman was good about ticking off a list of the road projects we're going to get done this year and next here in Sitka, and several of those problem child streets were listed and named by him.
But it's interesting that Alaska is a young enough state that a lot of our infrastructure is starting to degrade for the first time, and so there's no mechanism set up in a community like Sitka for sinking funds or for any of those kinds of resources that a lot of other places rely on. Is that a problem you're seeing across the state?
It is, and it's one of the problems I tackled when I first came into office. Is we never really set aside money for deferred maintenance. You know, there's some ongoing maintenance that gets done, but we also have a backlog of deferred maintenance. And so I set a plan. I said for 5 years, we're going to devote $100 million to deferred maintenance of our roads, our university buildings and infrastructure, and our public facilities, and have kept true to that promise. And while it's not going to solve the backlog, it is the first time that we've had a consistent deferred maintenance program in the state, and DOT gets quite a chunk of that $100 million in addition to their budgeted funds for maintenance. So it's a never-ending obligation.
That's Alaska Governor Sean Parnell talking with KCAW's Ed Ronco during his visit to Sitka on Wednesday. In all, Parnell spent about 25 minutes talking on a wide range of topics. You can hear more about oil policy, education spending, the Choose Respect campaign, tsunami debris, and even what's on the governor's iPod. It's all on our website, kcaw.org. That was the sound inside the Sheetkaquan Nakahiti yesterday afternoon as 14 men and one woman graduated from the Department of Public Safety's Training Academy. The graduates hail from police departments as far afield as Nome and Valdez, from Alaska State Parks, and from the Alaska State Troopers. State Senator Bert Stedman and Public Safety Commissioner Joseph Masters were on hand to congratulate them. Lieutenant James Helgo, the Academy commander, gave the audience a little taste of the 15-week training course.
They have swam, climbed ropes and walls, endured defensive tactics training. They've been pepper sprayed. They got shot with a taser and were occasionally verbally motivated, and have run more miles and done more push-ups that can be calculated.
Congratulations to all. You can find photos from the graduation on our website, kcaw.org. The state is expanding its support for mariculture. Governor Sean Parnell on Wednesday signed a bill creating a revolving loan fund for shellfish farms.
The fund will be capitalized And if you want to engage and begin operating in a small business of that kind, you'll now have greater access to capital in the state to do it. You'll also have an opportunity for a loan at the Alaska Microloan Revolving Fund. This is a niche where the banks don't offer it typically as a product, but again, focused on access to capital for entrepreneurs of our state.
The bill signing was part of the kickoff of the Ha'ani Oyster Fest. The event is connected to the Celebration 2012 Native Cultural Festival. Ha'ani, part of the Sea Alaska Regional Native Corporation, has helped start several oyster farms in rural Southeast. The legislation also provides financial support for other business opportunities.
There are two more funds, revolving loan funds, created in here related to communities being able to buy quota. It's something that our communities have not had access to capital for, as well as the commercial charter revolving loan fund to allow individuals to get into the halibut charter business.
Oysterfest features cooks demonstrating recipes using Southeast-grown shellfish. It continues through Saturday across from the Sea Alaska parking lot in downtown Juneau. A Juneau man has received a six-month jail sentence for pointing a fake gun at a store employee. 43-year-old Lee A. Grierson was sentenced Wednesday in Juneau Superior Court after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor charge of assault. Authorities said on November 11th, Veterans Day, Grierson wore white camouflage when he went into the Mendenhall Valley Breeze Inn grocery store. Grierson walked behind the counter after talking to a clerk, pulled a black handgun from his side, and yelled, "Freeze!" Court documents say he held the gun on her for about 2 seconds while in a shooting stance. He then wished her a happy Veterans Day. Since he's been in jail since the November incident, he has served his sentence. Sun weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for showers, highs around 53, west winds 10 miles per hour. Tomorrow, partly cloudy, highs around 58 with light northwest winds. This is KCAW in Sitka.